You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Just like Paul would do in some of his letters, Italy brings greetings. So I would like to keep up with that tradition. So Italy definitely does bring greetings. So does Ecuador and many other places in the world, apparently. So as Lloyd was saying, when I was 6 years old, so I was originally born in New York. When I was 6 years old, my parents had this brilliant idea of just selling everything and moving to Ecuador, which is in South America. You know, I obviously didn't have any say in the decision because I was six at the time. But basically, I lived there my whole life. I met my beautiful wife there. We are married now and have three children. Yeah, right there on the screen. That was last week. And so I lived there for a while. And then almost in December, it'll be 3 years that we left Ecuador and went as missionaries to Italy. I'll be telling you a little about our story as I go through this message. But there was something curious that happened. When we were leaving Ecuador, you've probably heard of this verse. It's always used for missionaries in Acts 1:8. It's the verse that says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You've heard that, right? You know, so that was a big thing when we were leaving Ecuador, because, you know, we're going to the ends of the earth, right? And then what happened was, when we arrived in Italy, and one of these churches that, you know, where we were, they were preaching about that, you know, and we're going to go to the ends of the earth. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, for me, this is the end of the earth. You know, this is the other side of the world. What are you talking about? And then it dawned on me. I'm assuming no one here is a flat earth, believer. Then it dawned on me. There is no ends of the earth. The world, the earth is round. So, and then I was thinking, well, so if there is actually no ends of the earth, we understand obviously what the Bible meant by that. But, you know, so I'm coming here, you're sending people there. You know, wouldn't it just be easier and cheaper if everybody just stayed put? Oh, man. I thought of that for a while. I really did. You know, but I have to remind myself that, you know, remember the moment in the Bible where Jesus goes on a cloud back to heaven? Remember that? And all the disciples are there. And, you know, that had to be an amazing thing, watching Jesus go back to heaven, right? I mean, that was definitely an amazing part in Jesus' life. And they're all there, and they're watching Jesus go back. You know, and then after a little while, he's gone, basically. They can't even see him anymore, but they're still looking up in the sky. And then that story says that as they were looking up into the sky, this angel just appears, you know, among them. And, you know, basically says, hey, guys, you know, what you looking at the sky for? If it was an Italian angel, he would have said, salt in a salt shaker doesn't do anything to the pasta. You got to get out there. All right, guys, Jesus is gone. And we got to start spreading around, you know, and that's an important thing. Because Jesus might have left, as you realized, but his body is still here. We are the living, breathing body of Christ, all right? And we're supposed to get out there and go everywhere. And it's an amazing thing. When you're in one place and, you know, you're talking to local people that love God, And among your local people, there's also people from somewhere else in the world that also love God, that speak another language, that are from Brazil, that are from Ecuador, that are from Italy, that are from Japan, that are from who knows where. And so we can all realize this is not God of just our city. This is God of the world, and He is everywhere, and He is definitely moving. And His church is alive and well and healthy and going all around. So no, we should not stay put. We need to get the word out of what Jesus is doing. Amen? Amen. If you could leave this morning with this one thing, this is what I would like it to be. Don't get distracted. Just remember that, please. Don't get distracted. And may I just say one thing? I have three languages going through my mind. English is my first language, but it is the language I speak the least, as I don't practice it as much. So if I say anything grammatically incorrect, don't get distracted. My English is a little rusty, I might say. So before I got married, I was in Ecuador. I already knew my wife, obviously. So we were one day, her parents had to run errands. And so, I can't remember why, but I decided to tag along. So her mother was driving, her father was, in the other front seat. Karina, my wife, was in the back, and so was I. So my to-be father-in-law gets out of the car. We were in downtown Cuenca. And so he gets off out of the car to run an errand. There's a lot of traffic, you know how downtowns can be. And so my mother-in-law was going to drive around the block to then pick him up after he ran this errand. So she starts driving. There's a lot of traffic, so we're kind of going slow. And as we're driving, something strange happens. A guy on the sidewalk, very well dressed in a suit, looked like he was going to work or something, says, just be careful, there's something under your car. We all kind of look at each other like, what? So I'm like the son-in-law to be, so I could, step up a little bit. So I roll down the window. I stick my head out of the car. I'm looking. I ask another guy, do you see anything under the car? No, I don't see anything. All right, so we keep on going. And then again, on the other, side of the block, another person says, hey, be careful. There's something under your car. I'm like, okay, this is weird. Something actually must be under the car. So I stick my head out again. I'm looking. I was like, I tell my mother-in-law, I don't see anything. We go around the corner still again, and then another guy says, hey, be careful, fire, fire. So then we all start freaking out. My mother-in-law slams on the brakes. She gets out of the car. So since she got out of the car, I have to get out of the car, obviously, because I get out of the car, and I'm like looking under the car. I don't see anything. And then this guy comes up to me and says, no, look, come. He taps me on the shoulder. He says, come over here. Duck down. Look, do you see? I'm looking at, the exhaust pipe. I'm looking under here. I'm looking around. I don't see anything. And I'm looking. Then my mother-in-law, she comes around. She's looking. We're both like this, looking under the car. And then this lady comes up to us, and she says, they just stole your purse. And as I'm looking down this exhaust pipe, I'm thinking, what an idiot. And so I get up, right? They just stole the purse. So I start running after this person. I'm like going down the road. I got to do something. I got to step up in this situation because it's not going good so far. So I'm running. And then I start to think to myself as I was running, who am I looking for? I don't know what this person looks like. I don't even know what the purse looks like. And then this thought passes through my mind. What an idiot. What am I doing? So I stop. I realize this is totally absurd. I don't know in what direction, who to look for. I don't know anything. So I start walking back, like all bummed out and stuff. And as I'm walking back, I realize something. I saw the thief. I didn't just see him. Like, he actually touched me. See, because this person that tapped me on the shoulder and said, come over here, look down here, look under the car, he was in on it. He was part, you know, he was the thief, so to speak. There were a lot of them. He was there. Do you know what he did? He told me where to look. He told us where to look specifically to distract us from what was actually going on. You got to give him some credit. At least I do, so I don't feel so bad. And so that's the way they stole the purse. You know, that got me thinking about something. And if you would like, you can go to Matthew 13, but I'm mostly going to speak about it. And it's about the parable of the farmer and the seeds. The farmer that's planting the seeds. And in the verse 13, the first part, in chapter 13, verse 3, the second part says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on. And I'm going to mention the four different places where they fell on really quickly. So the first thing I'd like you to notice here is, we'll talk about the soil in a second, but the farmer. It says the farmer scattered everywhere. To us, that might not seem like a very good farmer now, would it? You know, you're supposed to just put the seeds where they're going to grow. But this farmer decides to throw the seeds everywhere. And that really, for me, shows the heart of our God. He gives everybody an opportunity. And that's also why his church needs to be everywhere. Because everybody, even though for us it might seem like an impossible place for a seed to grow, that's God's heart. Give everybody the opportunity. And so the first kind of seed, the first seed falls on the footpath. And we all know the footpath is, you know, basically there's no soil. The seed has no place to go. And so it just, in the sun, burns up. There's nothing there. The second type of soil where the seeds land is this soil where you do have a good soil, but it's not deep. Right under the soil, you got already hard rock. So that's a person, you know, where receives God's message, is happy about it, but it just doesn't go anywhere. They're like, that's cool, I believe it, and then there's no roots, so any little problem that comes along, they forgot about it because it didn't go deep in. I'm not going to talk much about these two. If you have identified with one of these two, I just encourage you, listen to what God wants for your life. Let his word go into you. You might not be interested. You might not even understand. Give yourself the opportunity to hear what God wants. Give yourself the opportunity for God to change your life. Because I have to say this, and I will say this all over the world, wherever I can go, the life that God wants to give us is way better. I did not say way easier. I said it's way better. It gives us purpose. It gives us hope. It's a way better way of living. Whatever else you see out there, it might look good, but it's not. The life God wants to give us, that is good. So give yourself that opportunity. The third type of soil. This one really scares me. I don't like this one. And I think the church is made up of this kind of people with this kind of soil and the last one. And this one scares me, and I'll tell you why. So the third type of soil is actually pretty good soil. And it actually goes really deep. The only difference is the seed landed among thorns. So this seed actually has really good soil deep down, but as it grows, there's thorns around it. And these thorns, the seed doesn't die. That's the interesting thing about this one. The seed doesn't die, but the thorns come around it and just squeeze it and doesn't let it grow properly and doesn't let it grow fruit. You see the difference?
The other two just died out. That's it. This one, no. This one, it's there. It's still there. It lives a long life, but it does not grow properly. And the Bible says, and we can actually read this in Matthew 13:22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm not sure which you read from. Should basically say the same thing. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced.
You see, at first, when we hear this, it might be like, yeah, that seed went in among the thorns. Those thorns must be like bad people in the person's life. It must be like this spiritual battle in the people's life. But it actually isn't. It says it just worries. And it's the lure of wealth. This morning I'm calling them distractions. It's just distractions that are not letting this person live to its fullest and actually produce fruit. Distractions. Not other people. Nothing else. Just worries of the life. And this wanting, you know, this lure of wealth in someone's life. And you know what happens when you get distracted in that? Nothing happens. You stay the same. You go to church Sunday after Sunday. You give it your all, but not really. Because you just don't grow. You know why? Because you're distracted with all the other things this life has to offer. And then there's a special kind of person. This is the person I always hope to be. This is the kind of person I always hope you want to be. This is the fourth soil. And the fourth soil, it says in verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. This is 30 or 60 or 100. It doesn't matter if it's 30 or 60 or 100. That's great. What the important thing is that it grows and it produces fruit, because everything that is alive should grow and should produce something. And that's the kind of soil we want to be. That's the kind of person we want to be. And this person is not distracted by all the things in life. He knows who he is. This kind of person knows God's will and applies it to his life. I thought I was a person that didn't get distracted. And there was a time in my life when I was in Ecuador where everything was going really good. It was. I mean, I invested many years in a business. It was finally growing. After putting a lot of hard work into it, it was finally going well. I had my own business. A couple years prior, I was ordained as a pastor in my church. Everything was going well. I was even working half-time at the church. I don't know where I got all this time from, but everything was going great. My family was growing. The church was growing. I mean, everything was set up. We bought a piece of land. We paid for the piece of land. See, that's the hard part. Buying's not the problem. It's paying for it that's the problem. We paid it off. And so with my wife, we said, you know what? Let's build our own house. That was like our all-time dream. And that was something you actually, not so much anymore, you still do it. In Ecuador, people would buy a piece of property and build their own house. That's kind of the way it worked. And so that was our dream. We were living for a long time in my father-in-law's house. They live in Canada. We're by ourselves. But I wanted to get out of there. I wanted my own place. That was our dream. So in 2016, we started on that project. And that week, we had to give all the information, you know, of how we wanted the house and everything to the architect so he could do the project and we can present that to the bank, get a loan, you know how it works. And so, you know, we're dreaming, right? We're going through Pinterest and all these different places, you know. Yeah, this is a cool kind of house. This is cool. This is how we want the rooms. And, we're dreaming and putting it all together so we can tell the architect, you know, how to do this. So we're having breakfast. It was the last, you know, I don't know if it was that day or we had to have a meeting with the architect. So we're having breakfast. We're going through the last details of the house. And all of a sudden, something happens. As we're discussing of what this house should look like, this idea flashes through my mind. And the idea was, Is this the will of God?
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, this is the logical thing to do. You know, I'm advancing in life. This is what we're supposed to do. You know, you study, you get a job, you buy a house, you get married. So what you're supposed to do? And we're going through those stages of life. But the question that passed through my mind was this the will of God? And I mean, I got like goosebumps right then. And I was like, and I asked Karina, I said, you know, have we actually prayed about this? I mean, you know, for us this was the logical thing to do, but did we actually pray about this? And she looks at me and she says, I don't think so. I'm like, man, you know, I don't feel good right now. Let's just pray for a second. And I said a really simple prayer. I said, God, you know, forgive us if we haven't, you know, asked you about what your plans are. You know, if you want us to build this house, bless us. If you want us to do something different, then, you know, let us know. Pretty soon, because, you know, we gotta. Amen. And that was pretty much all I said. Like, 5 minutes later, I am not joking and I am not exaggerating. 5 minutes later, I get a phone call. I answer the phone. It was my dad. He's like, Rob. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, a weird thing just happened. Okay. You know, I was praying right now and just, you know, I just had this strange feeling come over me. And I just felt God talking to me. And I'm just going to put it out there. You do whatever you want with this information. I'm like, okay. I just felt like this might be a really good time for you to go somewhere else as a missionary. Thanks, Dad. I'll think about that. I hang up the phone. So I said, Cunningham. I said, I tell my wife, so how about instead of building a house, we like sell everything and go to missionaries as missionaries somewhere else. And she's like, okay. So we embark on this crazy journey of totally transforming our lives. And in 6 months, so that same day I like stopped the project, went to ask for counsel, you know, talked through this with my elders and stuff like that. I'm saying, this is not normal. What just happened? You know, I went through the different things. And in 6 months, we actually ended up deciding to go to Italy. It took 6 months to make, you know, the decision of where to go, and 6 months to sell everything. I handed off my business to somebody else. And so it was January 12th that we had this breakfast, and in January 12th of the next year, we were in Italy, our whole family. You know, I thought I didn't get distracted in my life, but then I realized I did. We can all get distracted. It's really easy because, see, when the thief comes to distract you, he doesn't necessarily distract you with bad things. Like, oh, look at these bad things that are happening. No, it was actually a good thing. Like, he was telling me in this car thing, like, where there was a problem and where I should be looking, right? That is a good thing. It should have been a good thing, but it wasn't. And in my life, you know, I was distracted by apparently good things, the way I should grow in my life, the different stages of my life. That was all good things. But guess what? They were distractions of what God actually wanted to do in my life. Don't get distracted. Not even with riches, with progress. Apparently good things. And you might say, well, Rob, you know, I hear you out, but I just don't know. Like, where do you start? You know, where do you start with living, you know, living a life for God? Where does this start? And people actually get distracted with that because they're like, you know, I hear you, but I don't know where to start. And so then the distractions just come really easy and I don't actually do anything. When I first got to Italy, the Lord put this verse in my heart, and it really helped me get through some difficult times. It's in Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, you've probably heard of this verse before, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. There's an amazing piece of information in this verse that you might not have caught on.
This is crazy. And this is where you really know Abraham was definitely a man of faith. It says, leave your father's home. Okay. To a land I will show you. See, he didn't show him where to go. Abraham had to leave without knowing where to go. Now that's faith. Abraham left his land. He left his father's land to somewhere God was supposed to show him. You know, I felt a little like that because I knew I had to maybe go to Italy, and that was about it. I had no idea what else. Am I planting a church? Am I helping them? I had no idea. But you know what? You might feel that way in your life. You might feel like, well, I have no idea where to start. You know what? Start anywhere. You know, the first place we all have to start is in our own lives, is being testimony wherever we are, you know, being people of integrity. Start there. That's an amazing thing, and we all need to have that. That's a good place to start. Start by serving in any way you can. If you don't serve in your church, start serving. Do whatever you can. Don't worry. In God's kingdom, there's always something to do. Ask your pastor. He knows about this. And you know, I think somebody even mentioned this early on during worship, but one, or maybe it was during prayer, I don't know. One door opens the next. You know, I believe that. And you might be like, this is a small door. I don't know if this is my thing. You know, I'm just supposed to be like, you know, helping children or sweeping or something. You know what? It might look small, but one door opens another door. And that is true in God's kingdom. Don't get distracted about what these doors look like. Start by doing something. It's steps of faith. Take a step of faith like Abraham did. One step at a time, take a step of faith. Don't get distracted by not knowing what to do. Just get started and let God guide you through whatever you're doing. And that might even be serving someone else's vision. Somebody once told me, if you want one road to follow and that's it, just do what you want to do. If you want the whole world to open up to you, learn how to serve someone else's vision. Man, that's a wise piece of advice. And it's the same I give you as well. So what time do I have, Lloyd? Good. I'm good. Okay, good. See, because I like preaching, you see, so. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Good, perfect. Okay. Don't get distracted. Because you will. When is not an option. You will find deserts in your life. Can you imagine the Israelites? They get out of Egypt. They finally, you know, get out of slavery. They go through this ocean. They do all these things. They go through the sea, I'm sorry. And then, when they're supposed to be free, what happens? Man, they land in a desert. That had to be rough, you know? And sometimes we think the same. You know, I'm doing God's will. I'm not getting distracted. I'm going through God's will. Yes, I am. And then, boom, something happens. You know, something rough happens in your life. And you're like, wait a minute. I thought if I go down God's will, this path, this road, things are supposed to, like, be blessings and easy and stuff. And you know what? In our life, there's deserts. And God kind of told us that was going to happen. You know, when we just got to Italy, even before, there was a period of time where I have never had so many problems as that, like, first year between, like, when we're trying to leave and when we finally got to Italy. It was just my youngest daughter, right before, a month before we left, she almost lost her finger. 3 days after we arrived in Italy, my son fell down, broke open his head, broke his elbow. I mean, the good thing is I could prove that the health system there is really good. I've never visited the hospital so many times in my life. It wasn't for me, but for the rest of my family, yes. My first daughter was just really affected by the change. And it's weird because you try to prepare yourself. You know, you count every cost you can. You know, not just monetary, not just financial costs, but like every cost. You know, we're going to be away. We're going to be away from our family. You know, you try to count everything. And still, man, you don't get to choose the battles.
You can choose the battles you want to fight, sure, but you don't get to choose. You know what I mean? You don't get to choose who's going to be affected, who's not going to be affected, and what is going to happen to you. And it's usually not you. It's usually the weaker people. It's usually the people you care about, because that's what really affects you the most. You don't get to choose. And that's just part of our Christian life. There are going to be deserts. That's like the death of a vision, you know? You're on fire, you're ready to go, and then something happens. And that's God telling you, hey, where's your vision? What are you looking at? Because the desert is not a place to complain. That's what the Israelites did. All they did was complain. It took them 40 years to go through it. The desert is not a place to complain. The desert is the place where we trust in God. We trust in what He said. We trust in what He said for our lives and who we are. That is where we trust in God. We do not start complaining about, look at all these things that are going on. No, put your eyesights on Him. Not at this desert, because manna will come your way. God will give you these little things to help you get through those hard times. But trust in Him and do not get distracted by the difficulties of this desert, because we will pass through them. You know, just something I woke up with this morning that was on my mind and I couldn't get it off. It was that we are not our deserts. I am not my desert. I am not my problems. I am not my financial difficulties. I am not my sickness or disease. I am not my confusion. I am not my bad habit. I am not my desert. I am a child of God. That is who He is. I am not my desert. Because sometimes we put like this thing up and then, oh, you know, who are you? I'm this sickness, or I'm this difficulty, or I'm this. And no, it's not. It's like, that's like putting up a mirror and walking every day in front of a mirror. And you know what? Every little defect, every little, you know, thing on your face just gets bigger and bigger in your sight. And that's not a way to live. That's why the Bible says, you know, the first thing we have to do is seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you after that. What we look at is God's kingdom, not at what all the difficulties we are. You know, those things are part of life. We have to go through them. That's okay. But they're not who we are. We don't live for our desert. We live to get to that promised land. We live for God. And I'm almost finishing up. Don't worry. Don't get distracted. The Israelites, they passed through this desert. Amazing. They can finally see the promised land. Something crazy happens. Do you know what they find in the promised land? You remember the story. They send the 12 spies. Spies come back with a report. What do they find in the promised land? The promised land has giants. You're telling me we went through all that to get to a land that supposedly has flowing milk and honey, and we find giants? Are you kidding me? Yeah. The promised land has giants. You know, our life in God, it's not just problems, but sometimes the promised land, sometimes the purpose in our life is very different than what we can imagine. And that's okay. See, because we make up these ideas of what it should look like. You know, I did that. I went to Italy and I'm like, oh man, when I go to Italy, it's going to be amazing. You know, I'm going to get off of that airplane. They're going to like roll out a red carpet and be like, tell me, speak to me about Jesus. In Italian, of course. And when you get there, they're like, what are you doing here? Like, you don't need to. What are you here for, Sly? It's very different. The promised land is very different than what you imagine it to be. And you know, like I said, when we got to Italy, we did not really know what we were doing. You know, okay, I'm kind of crazy, but like Lloyd said, I take after my dad, basically, right? So, hey, that's what we did. Might not have been the smartest thing, but we went without knowing. But I knew deep down that's what we were supposed to do. So we did that. And when we got there, we got to this place. Oh, my goodness. I mean, to this little, I don't think anywhere in the world they would have actually considered it a church. Okay, it was more like a home group that was going through all these problems. And this is where we decided to start serving.
And it looked very different than what, you know, I was imagining our lives were going to be there. But, you know, I went back to God and I said, God, am I supposed to be here? Like, is this it? Like, I burned all my bridges. Like, you know, I'm here. What am I supposed to do? And God just said, zip it, man. You just serve this first year. Just serve. Just serve. Just serve. And don't worry. I'll figure out the rest. I was like, all right. And that's what I did. Cut the story short. About a year later, through that, so there's this network of churches in Italy called Reconciliation. And the Lord put it on our hearts to serve in this ministry. And we actually went to the smallest one they had, which wasn't even considered a church. And by the next year, through our serving there, I could never have imagined it, but I ended up being one of the main pastors of the three pastors of the main church of the whole network in a year's time. And we are now working on different projects and implementing different projects so that they are models for the other churches and specifically for how to reach and raise up the next generation, which is a big, big issue, I think, around the world, but especially for Italy. And I could not have imagined that. Like, if you would have told me, what do you want? I probably would have said, like, something else. Whatever I imagined. But you know what? The promised land could be very different than what we imagine. And one of the reasons is because we vision the promised land as success in our eyes. You know, this is the promised land. It's going to look like this. And God's like, I don't think so. See, because success in his eyes is very different than success in our eyes, because we have just this tiny little bitty piece of information. He has eternity on his side. For him, success is very different. And, you know, but any success in God's, we have to trust in that, even though it doesn't look like what we might want it to look like, you know. And we might not have this visual impact on Italy. You know, that might not happen. We might not be able to send pictures back and be like, look at what's going on. But God knows what he's doing, and he can see the big picture. And we have to trust in him for what he is doing. And I want to finish with this. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Sometimes we get distracted when we mess up. I know I do. And sometimes we just want to throw in the towel and say, you know, that's it. I'm done. I messed up. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible reminds us of who we are. And we are righteous people. We are godly people. And you know what godly people do? They get back up. They don't get distracted by their falls. They don't get distracted just because they messed up. They get back up. You know, I have no idea what has gone wrong in your life, perhaps. I hope nothing. I have no idea if you ever fell or not. I know I have. I'm sure a lot of you have. Get back up. You know, the ground, the dirt, the dust, that's not a place for godly people. Get back up. The Bible says it doesn't matter if it's been seven times, we still get back up. Don't get distracted about if you messed up or not. We mess up. It's not a beautiful thing. It's not a nice thing, but it happens. And what do? We get back up. So can we stand up right now, perhaps? Because I'd like to pray for you. If you feel maybe you've been distracted in a few things, a few areas in your lives. And you feel like those thorns have come around you, have been squeezing you, and have not permitted you to grow and to produce fruit. And the Lord is just touching your heart and showing you these different places of where, you know, maybe you've been a little bit distracted. Where you need to get back on track to be with God. And Lord, I pray for every person here, Father. Come upon their lives, Lord. May they have this vision that your church, Father, your church is huge. It
It goes all around the world. It's not just here. It's not just the States. It's not just the Americas. It goes everywhere, and we are a part of that. And we want to stay a part of that, and we don't want to get distracted from what you, God, are doing. And we want to be a part of it. We don't just want to, you know, be sitting in our seats and comfortable and only thinking about our lives, but we want to put our attention to your kingdom, Father. Not on our personal distractions, not on our prosperity and our wealth, Lord. We want to follow what you want for our lives, and we know it might be hard. We know there will be deserts and there will be giants, Father, but we are a part of something beautiful. And it's not just simple happiness or joy. It's something even more important than that. It's your kingdom, Father. And we want to be a part of that. Lord, I bless every person here. Lord, and show any person, Lord, that feels in this way, that the thorns might be around their lives, Lord, that you are right there next to them. And you are breaking off those chains, breaking off those thorns, Lord God. And may they clear their minds of these distractions and give them this new energy, Father. Just this new vision for their lives. And may they start running and going through this life, Lord, with you. Because it's better, Father. It's so much better. Maybe as we sing this next chorus, just let the Lord go through your heart a little bit. Just let the Lord do His job. He does it better than any one of us. And let Him start talking to you. And let Him discern what's, help you discern what's going in your life.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.